everyone, welcome to More Than Meets These Guys. This is a show about two and sometimes three older, I guess, millennials or zennials. What are we, anyways? Guys who
I'm
come.
definitely Gen X. I'm
Yeah,
old.
I'm
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 certainly a
like
Gen
I'm on a
X.
cusp. I'm Gen X, but I'm close to the millennial. I'm a year or two younger than you, Ed. So,
All right.
anyways, journey going back through Transformers from the beginning. And seeing if the show holds up or if it is the trap of nostalgia. We'll look for all things, including real world factors that creep into the episodes, and see how it holds up after all the time. I am here with Ed, who was back from the 8-month sabbatical still. I'm very proud to see him here. And we are with Jehu of the Real Phonies, RealPhonies Phonies podcast. Also, lifelong friend of Ed here, or at least decades old. I don't know how far y'all go back. So,
The
welcome,
life I
everyone.
can remember
Yeah,
has
that's
it.
the. That's the rum talking. Yeah, so we got into episode Cosmic Rust this week, and I was thinking, like, man, I've been going through once again. I feel like I talk about this every 6 months, going through another bin of treasures that I've forgotten about. And Cosmic Rust made me laugh at this. You like find random parts of like Thundercracker's wing, Bomber's like shoulder. There's all kinds of random stuff, and you look at this going like, dude, what is all this worth? Well, I decided to go looking, and we talk about state of the of fandoms and random nerd stuff. These two tiny little guns, they go on Scorponok's little like roll guy named Fast Track. They go for those two go for about $80. That's what's wrong with fandom. You
That's
can't enjoy
crazy.
$80. These things are like not even an inch long each. And I'm like, oh, what are these go to? And I looked it up. I'm like, oh my God, okay, those going into a plastic bag, and I'm gonna look at them from across the room. Because this is one of the things everyone loses those little pieces. Like when you had the B-wing fighter pilot, you always lost the gun. That was the only guy who
I
used the
was gonna
gun.
say the fighter pilot because he was the only figure that came with that gun,
Yeah,
and that gun was super rare.
it was a handgun. It was a Star Wars figure. Of course, you lost them. Like
Yeah,
I
but
actually.
it wasn't like a generic like Star Wars gun, because like everybody that had a there was one pistol that everybody had, the Han Solo pistol, and then there was one rifle that was a Stormtrooper rifle,
Yeah, I was gonna
and
say.
everybody came with one or the other of those. But B-Wing Pilot came with a bespoke gun that was just his. He was the
It's
only
kind of a cool
figure
looking
that
gun.
came.
I used to have it. I got it probably somewhere around here, some in the box. Who knows?
Well, and they only made him for Return of the Jedi, so the rest of them they made for three movies, so
They did not put him back out when they did the reissue of the B-Wing.
Oh,
Was it?
I don't know. I mean, my
I don't know
collecting
either.
toys, like action figures, stops in like 1997 or so.
Yeah, mine too. Yeah, mine exactly. No, I mean,
Also, every now and then, there is something that'll come out, and then I'm like, man, I should start collecting these things or whatever. There's been a big Snoopy renaissance going on right now because it's like the 80th anniversary of Peanuts, and so like my Yeah, so my Instagram feed is just like Snoopy stuff. It's like a post, my friend's post, t-shirt bootlegger, three Peanuts ads, and then back to normal, and then three Peanuts ads, and it's like Super 7, I think, has these blind pack Peanuts guys, and I'm like,
Something like
trying to
that.
collect those, but yeah, I don't know. It's a slippery slope, man. I'm
It
like,
is, man.
yeah.
I got these little blockies or whatever that they have Walmart for like $5 a piece. They're like little snap together simple like model kits that Transformers stuff, and they're just fun. It's like, well, no, I'll get one and just put together in the car. It's just they're fun little posable statues. They don't transform. But there's this. It's something about the stuff like that that holds up over time, and I like the non-exclusivity about some of the stuff. Like I want like, it's cool that I have these little guys, and some of these things behind me are ridiculously expensive. But I like to be I like to be where you can say like I just have fun with it. I want to do things that make me happy about it. And like honestly, that's the whole reason for this podcast. I don't know if y'all ever caught on to that, but. So there are some things that it's nice not having exclusivity and gatekeeping as far as hobbies go. And I'm looking at all this stuff like these little chunks of plastic are really cool. But at the end of the day, I don't care that those are worth like $80 for two of them. I just kind of want to find and put it all together and have it whole again. So in that grand scheme of things, yeah.
I keep meaning to collect Simpsons figures. I've been watching a lot of Simpsons lately, and I keep meaning to collect those figures. But I guess there's two different series of these things, and I'm like, man, I don't have that much brain power to dedicate
No.
to remembering which one is which or which one I'm collecting or whatever. So
Man,
Like,
I don't know if this is a thing to say in public, because if I change my mind, I bet me help do it. But of the late 90s, early aughties Simpsons, I have almost a full collection of that, and I was thinking about putting it in Goodwill.
the World of Springfield ones?
Yeah,
Oh,
I
brother,
think
dude, if you decide to get rid of those, holler at your boy, because
I will. I will.
that was the
Ooh.
exact one. Well, those are the ones that I like, because they're like they.
Here's the reason why I have no interest in them, and my God, this is stupid. But of the itchy and scratchy, I lost itchy. Oh.
Oh,
And I'm like, okay, then I don't want any of them.
no.
That sounds like such an Ed thing to do.
That's
No
a
wonder
very
y'all are such good
good.
friends.
It does sound like an Ed thing to do.
God, yes. Well, if Eddie's on the band, I guess it's not Van Halen anymore. Now, it doesn't, I get that though, because it's like, what if you had Tom and Jerry and you lost Tom?
Right.
Jerry's just a
Okay.
mouse after
I
that.
would find another Tom, but then again, I don't like rebuying things that I've bought in the past. Like,
There's that
that's
too.
why I don't like loaning out books, because I know if I loan a book out, I'm not getting that book back. But I cannot stand like buying a book that I already bought and read on the off
Man,
chance I'm going to read it again.
I
Yeah.
hate doing that too, but I've bought The Dark Knight Returns so many times.
I was literally going to say The Dark Knight and Watchmen. I have bought so many
Yeah.
times.
Because that's like my go-to loan out. Oh, you're interested in comics? Here, try
One
this.
of yeah, one
Yeah.
of these.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I've done that with a few, like, just novels. I buy it because I don't want to, I know I'm going to lose it. So, like, I find it cheap somewhere on, like, half.com, and here you go. Read this. Yeah.
I went through a phase where I did all my reading on an iPad,
Right.
and so I was like, I'm just not going to own physical books anymore. And the pendulum has swung the other way, where I'm like all in on paper books these days, and I don't want to read anything on a screen. Like, I don't even want to read work on a screen anymore. Like, I don't want to. I just want to
Yeah,
work. But,
I get that completely. Like, for instance, we've come away from, like, okay, for instance, records, 8-tracks, cassettes, and then we go to CDs, and now it's everything streaming. But now I got to the point where, like, my wife and I have been slowly rebuilding a vinyl collection, because it just sounds really good. I'm asking your opinion on, like, what kind of table, some what turntable I should get. And then with an Audio-Technica, which is pretty good. It's kind of cool, because it Bluetooths into all my speakers. But to listen to Yes on an album rather than listening to it streaming is just a totally different experience. And you have to get up and flip that bad boy over after you, when you get it really into it, like, oh, just you flip it over and you get back into it, it's over. But
Well, and I think with a lot of that, it's not just the fidelity, it's just it sounding correct to you, because that's
That's
how you
exactly it.
listen to it.
It has a
Like,
crunchiness.
Descendants All or the first Stone Roses record. I know that cassette is a crappy format, but those records sound right on cassette to me.
Yeah, I know. That's another thing that kind of is becoming big again is cassettes. I looked at that thing on the why, man. I'd throw out a cassette after I warped it, 20 miles apart, and it just sounds all funny now.
A cassette was definitely a temporary purchase.
It was terrible for that. And but you know what's not a temporary purchase? The Black Plague. And when the Black Plague hit Cybertronians, that becomes Cosmic Rust. Okay, that was a really, oh, that's a hard transition.
That
Okay.
was good.
Well,
I
you
was
do
gonna
it.
do it. I was gonna do it. I was gonna say, well, I'll tell you what's a really good record, and spurred on by conversation with Jehu lately about playing guitar, is Neil Young's "Rust Never Sleeps," and which I was gonna somehow spin that into Cosmic Rust.
I guess I could have gone the Soundgarden route and Rusty Cage, and I love that album, Bad Motorfinger. That's a
That's
good
the
album.
last good Soundgarden
That is
record.
a great album.
That's a great
Oh,
album. That's the last good Soundgarden record too.
I don't know if I can agree with that. Oh, I really like Super Unknown.
Do
I you? Like
I had
some
no
of Super
patience for
Unknown.
those guys. When they were a pop band, I had zero patience for those guys.
Yeah. Well, it's like Red Hot Chili Peppers. I kind of lost interest when they became more pop friendly. Now they still do a lot of genres. They still blend genres really well. But I think when they became really popular and poppy, it kind of got away from me. After Blood Sugar Sex Magik, I just, eh.
Well, also, when they became the favorite band of any guy who installs above ground pools, you know?
Oh, you're not wrong. That and then they had to transition from Nickelback somehow.
Right.
So,
Ooh,
which
okay.
my wife loves Nickelback, and she loves Red Hot Chili Peppers. So I'm waiting for the glares over behind me.
And I don't want to sound like I'm hating on above ground pools. If I could afford one, I'd have one in the
Oh, I would too. And I had a back porch pool the last
yard.
2 years because I have woods behind me and I've rent this house and I needed a pool to sit in because I'm old and I get sweaty now. I hate it.
You guys know the wrestler Yokozuna, right? The guy,
Yeah. Boy, do I.
right? So, you know, he's from our town. You know, he's
Right,
from
right, right. Yeah.
Pensacola. So, a friend of mine was driving around over in Mayfair one day, and I just saw him sitting in like a, you know, those little blue plastic, those kiddie pools. He had one of those in his front yard, and he's just sitting in it, like
That would
drinking
have
beer
been me.
in the front
I
yard.
could have done that. That's
Man.
what I did in my backyard. I have pictures to prove it, man.
I love Yoko, but that's asking a lot of a kiddie pool. That's a lot of dude to put in a kiddie pool.
Well, listeners, if you don't know who Yokozuna, like legitimately weighed 500 pounds, and
He's a big dude.
he had a sumo wrestler gimmick, and yeah, this dude legitimately weighed 500
Dude, he
pounds.
weighed 500 when he was in shape. Like, you know, when he started to go downhill, there was more.
Oh
My
yeah,
wife
no,
is.
because he got so big he couldn't move around. But I
My
mean, the
wife
meat
got
is
really,
on.
well, so
Oh,
she
go
got
ahead.
really patient with me last year. Like I had a whole setup though, like the whole back porch pool, brought the my workout bench out, put the one of our TVs on it. We were watching Jaws in the pool, hanging out in on a summer night. It was the best thing ever.
That sounds pretty awesome.
It was, of course, I was drinking. It was even better that way. So, anyways, cosmic rust, man.
Cosmic Rust. So, okay. This was written, but this is a new, we have a new writer on this one. This is Paul David. Did you guys look this guy up? Because, buddy, I've got some information on this dude.
I did
Please.
not. Fire
I meant
away.
to. Go ahead.
Okay, so Paul David, he wrote this one. He's a weird case, man. So he did this. He did some episodes of Cops, the cartoon
Right
Cops,
on. Yeah. Bart
which
Sears.
we've talked about before, and I think
BPVS.
it'll be good fodder for a Subdivisions episode. I want to.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
He did some Garbage Pail Kids episodes of the cartoon.
Nice.
He did Defenders of the Earth,
Oh, cool.
which
Great
I
theme
was a
song.
big fan of. I love Defenders of the Earth. And I think called Spiral Zone. Do you guys remember
Oh,
Spiral Zone?
yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a cool show. I never get into it. I've seen clips of it. It's a cool show.
I get that show mixed up with another show because they're like, and this is impossible to look up on search engines because they're all broken and bad now. But there was a cartoon that I saw in the early 90s or the late 80s that where the bad guys were called the Skull Squadron. And if you look up the Skull Squadron in an 80s cartoon, all you're going to get is Robotech
Yeah.
because they were the Skull Squadron in that. But I can't always think that Spiral Zone is the one with the Skull Squadron, but it's not. But I look the toys up for Spiral Zone, and they're cool. They were 12-inch G.I. Joe style guys that had cloth uniforms and stuff.
Right.
And Bandai made them in Japan. Apparently, they were pretty big in Japan, which is pretty cool. But Paul David was a writer and also a director. He
Really?
directed some things, and I need you guys to prepare yourself.
Is this where we lose our PG rating?
I need you to prepare yourself for the doorway of madness here, gentlemen. So back in the 80s, this dude did, or the early 90s maybe, he did a documentary called Roswell that was all about the Roswell
Right.
stuff. This is the truth about Roswell, right?
Yeah.
Because but you remember back in the mid-90s when the X-Files was a thing, every like a third of TV was just this, was alien autopsies and the truth behind Roswell, or the truth about the Sphinx on the moon and all this stuff, right? So that's fine, but he did an update of Roswell this year,
No kidding.
2025.
Love the hustle.
Update. The name of it is UFO slash UAP Briefing for America's Rocket Pioneers. The description of this is: it proves the official UFO cover-up with information both old and new. It is a major update of the presentation on UFO UAPs that Paul David's, producer of Showtime's Roswell, gave to the founders of America's space programs. So I found it on YouTube and I watched a little bit of this, and man, there's all this footage of like this terrible footage. There's a it's mostly him talking with a giant poster of Roswell behind him with Kyle MacLachlan on it, which I'm like, that's the coolest thing, is just a poster
Oh,
of Kyle
yeah.
MacLachlan. But beyond that, there's a lot of just footage from like C-SPAN of like Nancy Mace and Matt Gaetz and all these other right wing wing nuts just talking or whatever, and it's the most boring thing ever. I spent about 15 minutes watching this when I should have been watching Transformers.
No.
And it's very dull and very boring. And I love UFOs and I love UFO mythology, but I could not watch. This was so bad and I could not watch it. And I was like, okay, cool. Well, what else has this guy done? Okay, so he has a thing called that he's been doing for a couple of years now, and you can watch this on Tubi. It's the Grand Kingdom of Cookie Land. That
Excuse me.
is a show with a little girl with a lie detector built out of like a looks like a thermos and a telephone cord, where she goes and talks to puppets to, and this thing looks like it was filmed for about $40.
Wow.
If you guys are familiar with in Pensacola, we have a local guy called Super Mario Logan. If you guys are familiar with this
Yes,
guy,
with
I
his
am.
Lambo.
Yeah, with these, he just films these puppets on his couch for
Right.
$0, and this dude is like a multi-millionaire doing stuff. And this looks about like that. Like the sets for this show look like you took giant like poster board and colored it with markers. That's what this show looks like. It is absolutely
God.
awful. But
Amazing though.
hold on, though, guys. We're entering the final chamber here, guys.
Oh, okay.
We're entering 36
Find
chamber.
a chamber of madness. Let's do this, man.
Yes. So, a thing last he did a thing last year. All right, called The Naughty Adventures of Scarlet May Blossom.
No.
Okay. It's not that, but what it is it is a fully AI generated sitcom about a girl, Scarlet May Blossom, who lives in a trailer park and runs internet scams and has a bunch of guys try to marry her, one of which is a Nigerian prince that has 99 wives, and he's the dude behind all the Nigerian prince scams.
God, are you sure this isn't like some harem style anime? Sounds like
I watched it. I watched it.
it.
And y'all like I work in like I work in IT. I hate AI. I like
Oh
AI is
my
like I'm ready to call the Butlerian Jihad. I'm ready to go full blown Dune on this crap. I hate it.
God. Right.
I hate every iteration of AI. I just don't want to use computers anymore because of it. And man, this is one of the worst things that I've ever seen in my life. It's absolutely awful. It's very classist, first of all, because it's she's from a trailer park, so it's like I grew up in a trailer park,
Right.
in the South, and this is just like it's just making fun of every trope from the like oh my boyfriend fixes cars, and I'm like man God like you know how lucky you are to have a boyfriend that fixes cars.
Right.
That's in the
Ed
South,
really
that's
wants that. Ed wants that. He's going to ask for a boyfriend to fix his cars.
I know
Like, that's a practical skill, you
it is a
know?
practical skill. Yes, exactly. Exactly. And it's very classist to make fun of that stuff. And I don't really like, I mean, I get it, but it's like I think it was Danny McBride that said that he got tired of every time he would get cast in something, it would be a guy named Bubba or Lugnut or something like that. And
Right.
he's like, well, I'm just gonna write Southern people like I wanna see, like I wanna see. And they're legitimately funny Southern people. So
Right.
yeah.
Jimpsons. Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, that's what I found out about Paul David, and as this dude is, yeah, I'm just gonna preemptively cancel this dude. I don't ever want to interview this dude on the trip.
I mean, I now know there's a few titles I've got to go back and watch now, so thank you for that. That's it's as
I'll watch Cops, but I mean
a
that's I mean,
God, that sounds amazing in
yeah.
the worst possible way.
Yeah. Okay, so then the show starts.
So there's like a bunch of Decepticons traveling in Astro Train and they're going through space. They come across a cr big crazy planet with a big Autobot symbol on it.
Dude, this is like Chairface Chippendale from the Tick, like carved his
You
name on
mean
the building. That's
Chalk?
what I thought of with this. This is strange.
We don't get any information of why they're just cruising through space either.
No, I know.
Having
I
an
know.
adventure. They're on their own sabbatical.
But I mean, like something, if it would have been like, hey, we have to get to this planet so we can get to this, like go get the energy from this planet. That's all you had to do was say that.
Right.
It
Paul
would have
David
been.
didn't care.
I
He was
tell you what, I have one of the big things I've learned from watching these shows again as an adult. Rumble's the best Decepticon.
Oh, he's the best.
Everything he says is just hilarious.
I still think about him stealing cars for the Sunicons during that episode of the Trans-Europe Express. Is that what the one? No, it's which one?
No, it is.
Oh,
It's
it's
that one.
Trans-Europe. Okay. Yeah, I still think about him stealing Dragstrip. He's sitting in there like a go-kart driving the thing off. It's the best stuff ever.
I mean,
He's
the first line in this episode is just going, "Hey, Astro Train, look out for that asteroid." Like, I
yeah.
don't know why that killed me, but that killed me.
That reminds me, I got some questions also when we get to to them leaving again. But so yeah, like we're gonna go explore this dead planet, this dead colony. We're not gonna wonder why it's dead. We're just gonna explore it.
Okay, so but I have a they find a like a monolith here that has ancient prehistoric Autobot writing. Like, is that a thing in Transformers? Just like in the milieu and the lore, the fluff of Transformers,
Yes,
is that a
actually,
real thing? Like,
I will tell you this. I know you make fun of it. Once my wife got into it, she watched the entire series of Beast Wars. I just finished it today, actually. There is actual two languages in there, and there's a cipher out there. You can go and like read what messages the artists are leaving behind, the CG artists are leaving behind for fans to find. There's an actual Rosetta Stone episode. There is actual language. Now, this may not be legit yet. Because it's just random symbols on a bundle. But yes, it is in the lore. There are actually written languages.
I don't mean just the written language, but I mean like this in particular. Is this history like was this touched on again down the road in some other series, or is this just some fever dream of a dude that wants a robot to write his TV shows for
I
him?
almost feel like it was touched on at one point,
Okay.
and maybe I'm thinking of this episode, honestly. I don't know, dude.
Okay.
It's cool. That's all I care
We get
about.
a hologram or a hologram
Hologram.
of an old Autobot that he was
Speaking
a
and
curse on him in rhyme, and man, any curse that rhymes is that's the jam.
done.
I was really wondering, do all ancient Autobots speak in rhyme?
So are the Jekions? Well, no, they just talk. No, is Wheelie an ancient? Okay, well, you haven't
Yeah,
gotten there yet.
maybe Willie is a descendant of these guys.
I'm trying to think, but you know, Ed doesn't know who that is yet, so we'll get into that later. There's a
You're gonna
payoff.
love him, Ed. You're not
Dude,
gonna love
my
him.
God, the whole thing you're gonna love. You're not gonna love that part, but yes.
You're not gonna love Wheelie. You'll love the rest, but you won't love Wheelie.
Okay.
Something I noticed early on in this episode, and it continues through the whole thing, which is Starscream kind of acts like Megatron in this story, and Megatron kind of acts like Starscream.
Yeah,
Starscream's
Megatron.
kind of competent in this
He's
episode,
very competent.
and Megatron's kind of a whiny idiot in this episode.
Well, he also just kind of rushes headlong into a lot of stuff,
Yeah,
and just
no
didn't really
forethought.
think about anything. He just kind of that's a good point.
Yeah, like actually,
I don't
the Starscream is supposed to be competent. He's supposed to be a former scientist. He should act this way all the time, but
know.
of course, he doesn't.
But I mean, like right early on, when he identifies that it's an ancient communication device and also calls Megatron an idiot, that's very a Megatron-y thing to do.
It is very Megatron, but they find like an ancient artifact. It's a giant like scarab beetle looking thing, which is
Yeah.
cool
Right.
because I mean like any I mean any I mean Egyptian stuff is cool, but Starscream, a former scientist, man, this dude just goes straight up like Indiana Jones and just is trying to like rip this thing off the pedestal and take it with him.
Hey.
Well, speaking of guys, I know we're trying to keep this PG, but doesn't it kind of look like he's trying to marry the lightning bug?
He was trying to know the lightning bug, I believe.
And then Rumble comes to help him, but Rumble just grabs his leg. Like, how is that helpful?
Leave my lightning bug alone.
I was gonna say that, but I forgot to write it down.
Oh God.
Oh God. And then
Yeah.
Megatron comes to help, and he marries it real hard. Like, it's upsetting how much he marries the lightning bug.
Maybe Megatron's the Nigerian prince. Maybe he gets the harem down the road. Who
Lightning
knows?
bugs. Oh God. So
This animation was not so good.
good.
Yeah, so
Yeah.
they steal this thing and they take off.
It's such a weird MacGuffin too.
That is a well, but it really isn't the MacGuffin though.
You
Like
know, you're right. You're right. But
this
it
isn't the
seems
MacGuffin.
like
It's
it.
just like
There's
a.
like two and a half MacGuffins in
There
this,
are,
really.
yeah.
Well, it's I would call it. I would totally call this a Chekhov's gun, but it's not really.
Right.
No, because they use it the whole time. It's not like
Yeah, they use it a
they
lot.
show it and then put it away. It's just like, hey man, we got a heat ray. We're gonna shoot it all over the place, all over the galaxy.
Or gonna, yeah, anyways, yeah. So that's all a weird thing. But dude, they leave with it. They've got it, they've got the pedestal and everything on this on Astro Train. They're flying back with, you know, Lightning Bug that they've all married now. And what is with the asteroid that suddenly flies off and pursues them?
I was asking about why is this sentient asteroid?
It comes out of orbit like, oh, okay, there's the ship. I'm gonna go attack it. Why? I expected there to be an alien on there or something.
And then, honestly, why did they decide to blow it up? I'd want to find out why the asteroid is pursuing me.
There
Like,
might be something cool in there. It might be
yeah.
some rare gems or
You
like a.
know,
It's
like
about that. There might be some energy in there. You never
yeah,
know.
the element X or whatever that is.
Right.
Element X. Element X. So the Decepticons decide to test out the lightning bug and blow this thing up. So which is cool because apparently Astro Train has like a special like thing where you can just like
Butthole.
plug in a death ray into this butt and shoot
Yeah.
it out in
Dude, there's
space. That's pretty
a hole in the back end where they're like an engine should go, and that's where they shoot through the butthole.
cool. Right. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But they blow this thing up and but like they don't think that like this is gonna make shrapnel and it just rips through the Astro Train, which is pretty cool. But Megatron gets a chunk of it in his chest and he's laid up like he's Khal Drogo.
Yes.
And I'm
Yeah,
like,
totally.
huh.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm like, okay, I'm down with this. But then so Starscream's going to operate on him, and instead of using his fingers, he swaps out his hand for the clamp. Because the clamp, I
That's like
guess,
a, it's
is
like a
what.
s scientist tool, man. He's like a little, he's a
Man,
claw.
he's already got robot
Use the
fingers. That's the
claw.
most like manual dexterity you can get is out of fingers. And
Well,
then, so he pulls his chunk out, and then Megatron rusts all over the place. He is Khal Drogo. This is 100% just Game of Thrones. This is just the non-Westeros Game of Thrones thing from season one.
J.R.R. Tolkien got his idea of Khal Drogo off of
Who
Khazad
did?
Rust.
Who did?
Oh God! Oh my God! Yeah,
J.R.R.
no, not Tolkien.
Tolkien.
Yes,
George
you know what I'm talking about. Jesus, that took a
R.R. Martin.
turn.
Only
Well,
the finest fantasy writers have two middle names, so.
yeah.
Back to his claw. Like, it'd be one thing if he picked up some claw device as to protect his hand from the foreign object,
Right.
but it's also his body.
It's an alternate hand.
He just uses a
He's
different
got
thing on
one of
his
those old
body.
guy claw
It's
things they
not
use to
very
pick up things from the
smart.
ground. It's got little two suction cups.
Yeah, it was like a grabbing claw.
Yeah,
Well, yes.
grabber. Yeah. Yes.
Grabbing claw.
He's over there cleaning up garbage on the side of the interstate with that.
Pick up some
But
dog poop
yeah,
or something.
pulls it out and there's this pfft of red dust. They're like, huh, you seem to be rusting. And Megatron's like, we don't rust, man.
Right.
We don't, we're not subject to rust. So that's forgotten about for a little while. Then, but we have an award given out. An award for one of Ed's favorite characters.
No, this geek. All right, so man. All right, so they're giving Perceptor an award, and I couldn't understand what the guy said, and I backed it up like three times to hear what he invented, and I could not
Poor
understand
stop.
what he was saying. But the subtitles, the first time he says it, they call it Kerstock, Kerstock. And then at various points through this entire episode, it's called Coral Stop, Chorus Top, Course Stop, Chorus Time.
In the
And
course,
I
in the
have
time.
no idea. I have no idea what this is supposed to be. They didn't, and they just said like, "Oh yeah, invented course stop." Like, all right, cool. What is it?
There's yes, that's your MacGuffin number two.
MacGuffin number two. Yeah.
Yes.
So all I know about it is that he wants to coat all the world's monuments in this stuff. I guess it's like Teflon or something like that. I don't know.
It's not nonstick surface. You're going to be able to cook eggs on the Statue of Liberty. But we only have enough for the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, it'd be pretty
And
handy.
so, yeah. We already, didn't we like, okay, during the 80s, I might be mistaken. I don't think I am. Didn't like Reagan do a thing where he like sandblasted the Statue of Liberty and cleaned up the torch and stuff?
There was a massive like rebuild of it
Yeah.
or renovation of it where they had like scaffolds around it for like almost a year, I think. I
Okay,
remember
I thought I was making sure that wasn't some like the Berenstain Bears thing that I was remembering, or you
that
know,
would have
but
been around, I think that was around like 84, I think was when they
okay,
were
yeah, so that makes sense because that's probably why this was written in this episode because restoring the Statue of Liberty is a big deal.
well, you know, you real world things creeping in.
Yeah,
I haven't heard of acid rain in 30 years.
but
Yeah,
it's
what
all
happened?
acid rain
I'm
now.
real worried about that. That was on the, I was up there with scorpions and quicksand, the things that I don't have to
Yes.
worry about. Smog.
Yeah, the problem with that is though, like I my wife and I both are, in environmental science. It's
Right.
still very much a thing. And no one talks about it anymore because they got tired of talking about it, but it's still very much a thing.
I mean,
And
I figured, you know, nothing's getting better, so
oh
I
no.
figured it was still out there. Nobody's no one's
It's
talking.
just we're even faster going to the end times of our environment. So we just stopped talking about it because, may as well enjoy good music and like action figures while you can.
Yeah, I mean, sounds about right.
Yeah.
So,
So Ed,
you hate Perceptor, right?
I don't like Perceptor. I mean, I'm on
I
record saying I don't like him in the show. I had the toy when I was a kid, and I really liked him when I was a kid.
that is my thing with Perceptor. He's just too cool of a toy and too cool of a design to be C-3PO.
Yeah, he's a total geek, and like, and not in a good way. Not in
He
like
should be Doc Savage, is who he should be.
a. I'd be there.
He should be an action man scientist.
I mean, everybody should be an action man scientist. That's
I mean, that's
how all
true.
scientists should
Did
be in everything. Like,
either of y'all see Ben 10, the show?
yeah,
Yeah, my son
yeah.
watched a lot
The
of it.
grandpa is the same voice actor, Paul Eading.
Oh
Oh,
yeah.
right
Okay.
yeah, Bob Ben's grandpa, the cool Hawaiian shirt guy, same voice actor, really nice guy. He actually did, I think he's done voices in like the Metal Gear Solid games and stuff. Yeah, super cool guy. He still goes around a lot of the conventions and things. So yeah, man, he is like Perceptor is not as cool as he should be. I think we can all agree to that. But nerd culture and like science stuff was really big. Like, he turned into a barely working microscope. So I mean,
It kind of worked though. I mean,
he kind of
that was
worked.
cool though. And yeah,
It was like
for
looking at a magnifying glass in a tray as
I mean,
well.
yeah, you could read like small print with it if you could shove small print under it.
There you go. That was the reason why I chose him over the Tomax and Zaymont. I don't know how I feel about that now. I
I want to
know.
go, man.
I know. Crimson
I
Guard
never had
commanders are
Tomax
really
and Zaymont,
cool.
and I would much rather have had like I would rather have Tomax and Zaymont sitting on my desk right now than have Perceptor sitting on my desk. I'm just saying.
Thanks, man, because I've got Perceptor on my desk. I appreciate that.
That's fine. That's fine. That's your desk. It looks fine from
Yeah.
my house. So,
Yeah. So,
they're spraying this stuff on the Statue of Liberty, and
yeah.
finally, like on the side of the truck that's spraying it, it says "Corro stop."
Yeah.
So, like as in corrosion stop. So he
Just
just invented Rust-Oleum.
right.
Cool man. Like yeah.
Checks out, man.
Like people had been spraying the stuff on like 67 Impalas for like the past
Over
3 years. Like
the Bondo.
everyone in the South knows what Rust-Oleum is. Like oh man, you gotta spray it all over those lawn chairs you got, otherwise you're gonna fall through them.
Speaking of spraying, when the aerial bots show up to help out, they say another non-PG line, which is, "Let's spray old Lady Liberty." Oh my. There's some adult content in this episode.
Oh man.
You know, I didn't pick up on that ever in like 40 years, so I'm not ever gonna not hear that now.
That's all you're gonna think of when you
Yeah,
think of
I
the
am.
you
I
go
mean,
Statue of
they're
Liberty, the aerial bots.
getting
That's all you're
sprayed by the
gonna
aerobots.
Dude, oh man.
Everybody, actually.
The Stunicons show up riding a
Yeah.
ferry. They're riding a ferry, but one of them's skiing. One of them's like water
Drag
skiing.
strip.
Dude, we haven't seen We haven't seen an Autobot or Decepticon like surfing or skiing or snowboarding in a lot of episodes, man. Are we
Welcome to
really here
Doom.
for this? And
I'm here
like, I
for
wanted to see the pyramid. You remember the old school pyramid where like be
it.
like 20 ladies making a pyramid out of
Yeah.
flowers?
Some
You know what?
Jaws 3D.
I wanted
Was that
that
Jaws
real
2?
bad, man. Oh
Yeah,
yeah. But
so
that was very, it was very cool. I
yeah, he
wanted
shows up in like he jumps over. I guess it was like who was it was taking him on across on the water? I think it was like Dead End who was pulling him, or so anyways, flips onto the dock where there's like this woman interviewing Perceptor.
the Baroness.
Yeah,
She
I was
was
gonna say
I
this is the B plot we never get to see. That was
that's
the
oh,
Baroness
the
undercover.
Baroness, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for ruining the hook there, buddy. Yeah, she's like talking like she's in one of her disguised voices, like, hey, something happened to Perceptor. I should tell the
She,
commander.
voice actor was so weird. That was such
She
a weird, that
sounded
was
like
a
she was
weird voice.
16, actually.
What's that?
She sounded like she was 16, the voice actor who
That was
did this.
so bizarre, man. But
Yeah.
I want you to keep in mind that the Decepticons took a ferry, a water ferry. I want you to keep that in mind for some for something that's gonna happen later on.
Oh,
So
I know what we're going for.
good,
Yes.
good. I love that the fairy like breakdown, the Senecon breakdown, goes and like tells all the people to get into the captain's cabin. It throws them in a garage door. That's not the captain's cabin. That's like the where all the cars are. They get in the captain's cabin, shuts
Why?
it.
What are they
I
going to
mean,
do?
maybe they were thinking if they were the captain, that's where they would hang out.
You
So
think
it might have
cars
just been
hang
a
out?
misunderstanding of smaller people's
Yeah,
cultures.
it's true. There are all cars in there, so I could see that. See,
Maybe there were
that's
some delicious crackers in there, so he thought that's where the captain would hang out.
right.
So that's usually what I if I were the captain, I would be looking for those delicious wafers that he
All
gets.
those wafers that are just like a
Wafers
stick of butter in
are
every single one.
so good.
That is the dumbest joke.
No,
Appreciate
it isn't. No, it absolutely
that.
isn't. And that's a
Soon as you
great
said it, I knew where you're going.
funny joke about the captain's wafers. It's good. And I went to lunch one time and with a mutual friend of ours, and there was a whole basket of them on the table. And I just took them and I put them, and I kept them with me. And he was like, "Hey, let me get one of those." And I was like, "No, you cannot have any of these because you're not the captain."
Let me make
That
sure. These are the ones with like
was.
the sour cream and chives in the center, right?
What? No, I'm talking
No,
about the captain.
those are Lance crackers.
They're
Yeah.
Grant Lance Captain Wafers sandwich cookies or sandwich crackers. They're like they got like sour cream and chives in the middle of it.
Oh
That's
yeah,
my
no,
favorite
those are
ones of
good, but
those.
yeah, no, I just mean like the plain ones, like the
I'm too fancy for
cracker,
that.
I believe is the generic. There's the Keebler
I am
crackers.
too fancy. I
It's
am the captain now. I'm too
like when you
fancy for
go to
that.
the New Yorker deli and they have that basket on the table where it's like half Captain wafers and half saltines.
Saltines. Right.
Whoever touches those
No,
saltines?
man, those
God.
are all there when you leave, but those Captain wafers
Right.
are depleted.
That's a place I haven't thought of in years. The New York deli, my God.
It's
It's
delicious. It's still there and it's still delicious.
yeah, it's good little like, lunch food thing, man. Oh man. Okay, now you're making me think of all the things I actually like from Pensacola, so stop. Anyways. Yeah. They go and they steal Perceptor and they go and see, like, I guess this is like Dirge and Ramjet take Perceptor in to see Megatron. And he's like in the shadows because he's called Drogo and he's dying. He's going to be resurrected by the witch here soon. He's like, Perceptor, I need a favor. And then you show
So
him. What? This
you
is me.
breeze past a very important part, which is that
Oh.
the cone heads can operate the lightning bug without molesting it. They just used it. There was no crotchal activity in their firing of it.
Well, it's
They only wanted to see.
actually if you look at their structure, their cockpits are on their head, so they're down there with your hands,
Right.
so there's your PG-13. Was dumb as hell. Anyway. They have no idea what's going on with Megatron. Like he turns around, he's got. Well, I know it's Cosmo. It looks like someone smeared poo on him. It's like brown and it's like streaks and stuff. And like the Conan's like, oh, they don't know what's going on. Yeah, he's got the poo monster on him. So I think Perceptor was like, "Hey, I'm not going to help you because you go to war with us." He's like, "I'll make you a deal. If you cure me, I'll, we'll call a truce here, and we won't, I won't, I'll do what you need to, and we'll everything will be happy." We know this a lie as soon as he says it.
Right.
Yeah, he's a bad guy. But Perceptor, that geek just gives him all the juice.
Well, he doesn't though. He's like, "Here, like, beep, beep, here, put this on your hand." He's like, "All right, the other hand, give me that." That's what he does. He's like, "Well, this is mine now, obviously, because it's curing me."
So I feel like since I'm the only one who keeps bringing this up, I must be fixating. But notice that Perceptor gives Megatron the option of, hey, this is happening really fast, but we could just destroy your heat ray and you'd be fine for a while because the heat ray is exacerbating it. And Megatron's like, how dare you? Because I think Megatron's in love with the lightning bug.
Yes.
Like, he won't even consider that.
Man, maybe so. Maybe, man.
This is
I think
subplot
you
we
may
needed
be
this
onto
episode.
something here. I think you're right.
This is definitely the subplot we needed. Thank you. I gotta rewatch this now. I missed the whole like the whole love story part of this. But here we are.
Watch it with the Titanic music.
Yeah. I was thinking like the Beauty and the Beast says tale as old as time, song as old as rhyme. Megatron
Oh.
and the lightning bug. So yeah, I gotta see this now.
Don't know how we got to this part, but like, so I guess the they started using the bug or something, and then but
Oh
like
yeah, though he
basic
Megatron
Blitzwing
radios
shows
up.
up.
Well, he radios Prime, and Prime's like, "Megatron, what do you want?" He's like, "I've got a deal." And he's like sparkling too. He's like, he's
Right,
just,
he's so shiny now that he has the Rust-Oleum.
oh yeah, when like there was what was the name of it? Palm Olive or whatever. It had the thing where like the old commercial was like he would like sparkle and shine your plate and
Yeah,
stuff.
yeah,
Yeah,
yeah. Oh,
so
wow, I
that's
forgot
what he
all
looks
about that.
like. What's that?
I forgot all about that commercial. That's
No,
funny.
I obviously I did not because I can't retain things I'm actually trying to learn. So yeah, he's on the monitor sparkling like Palmolive, and he like Optimus Prime's like, "What do you want?" And he's like, "Well, I'm gonna offer of good faith. I will give Perceptor back to you. He's gonna be in Fox Canyon right by your base." "Well, how long? When is he gonna be there?" "He's there now. And he's got a stick of metal dynamite sticks that's going to burn once his microscope goes through the sun or it takes the sun through there."
Hold on, but before that, we're getting a little ahead of it though, because before that, there was a part where the Blitzwing shows up and the aerial bots go to chase him back to Decepticon headquarters.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's
Yeah,
right. Because they're riding around
so
Blitzwing.
right, I don't know how Blitzwing showed up, but that's always I'm always like seeing another triple changer hanging out. We got both of them in
Yeah.
this episode. That was cool.
Oh yeah, this is kind of unusual. And Blitzwing, they're not trying to take over anything either, which is kind of unusual.
Right.
Oh, and we totally like I'm gonna go past this, but I gotta reference back. Astro Train brings up like when they first see the inscription and stuff. Astro Train's like, "Dude, I don't mess with this stuff. If it rhymes and it talks about doom, I am not touching that." Rumble's like, "Me either, dude." That's yeah. This is Starscream's like, "No, come on, I got this. This is communication." And yeah, sorry, I forgot about that. That was one of my favorite bits of this. Like,
Yeah.
Astro Train's like, "Dude, no,
And he
100%
was totally right.
right."
Well, so he's a bass player because he's like, oh, you guys are writing lyrics? No. I don't do that. I don't mess with lyrics
Just
for
tell
someone
me
who
my beat. The
hasn't.
then
So the
yeah.
Aerobots chase Blitzwing though to Decepticon headquarters, and so they start shooting at the Aerobots with the heat ray, with the lightning bug or whatever. And I guess it was Silverbolt just like freaks out. He's like, it's a heat ray and it works.
Like, holy crap, they need something that works?
It
Normal
implies a
Joe.
long history of heat rays that did not work.
Right.
Where are
Yeah.
those episodes?
My God.
Like, how, if it didn't work, how'd you know it was a heat ray? But then he just goes, notify Prime. Notify Prime. Like, I'm telling mom. I'm telling.
Think back to the arc, and they're like, "Yeah, look, I'm gotta get replacement parts immediately. Look at my tail." Like, no one
We're
cares about
jumping around a lot, but this also reminded me there was a part that I think we just skipped over that I felt was very important, which was Cosmos out in space
that. Oh,
saying,
yeah.
there's no more of the element anywhere.
Yeah, Element X, I think, is what they called it.
You covered everywhere, Cosmos.
Everywhere.
Like we
Everywhere.
had, and what was even sillier than that is he was talking to Blaster,
Blaster.
who was with him. Like, Blaster was there for the search. Why did Blaster not know that they hadn't found it?
Blaster, oh my, what? Are you serious? Like, Prime's not going to be happy about this. It's like, well, could you talk about that in space? Not when you're landing on the planet? You've been all over the galaxy looking for this stuff. And, ew.
I love that that one of the points of this episode is Element X. It's like the Powerpuff Girls when he created the Powerpuff Girls. It was, Chemical X.
That's what I was trying to think of. So,
Yeah, man.
but yeah, but back on to Perceptor's in a Doctor Doom style trap here. This is cool, man. This is like I'm here for any Marvel Comics death trap. Like, I love these things. Like, the most convoluted thing ever. Like, I'm gonna knock out the Avengers, and I'm gonna like put Captain America in a Doctor Doom suit, and then I'm gonna have a giant slingshot with the shield in it, having the thing hold it when he wakes up. So that, like, why didn't you just
Yeah,
kill
I
him?
mean, this is basically like putting Wolverine in a trap that his claws are the trap.
Yes,
You
ex
know,
yeah, exactly.
because Perceptor's using his own power against himself in this.
Right.
This is kind of an
This was
early
cool.
Jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah, it's like
It's like,
Saw. Again, this is a
yeah, it's
very
like,
adult episode, very
yeah,
sophisticated.
man, it's like, if you want to save your friend, you must get there before 12 o'clock when the sun goes through his microscope lens and burns the bomb and detonates him all completely.
Although one problem I had with it is if it was going to come through his lens at noon, wouldn't his thing be pointed straight up? It
I just
looked
said
more like it
noon.
was
It could have
pointed
been like 3 p.m.
about 11 o'clock.
Sure. I made it that time because I forgot to write down the time. So, yes, we'll say it's 11 o'clock. We could have said 3 o'clock. I'm not sure. But, okay, also, why didn't Prime just pick up the metal dynamite sticks and throw it?
That's a great point.
Okay. I thought about that also, and the no prize here is that those were like a part of the base that they were that was like built into the base. That's the only reason that I could come up with for it, and that's fine. But
I mean, it's already metal dynamite, so it may as well
right,
be part of the
yeah,
base.
exactly. Like that, that's
With
it's fine.
a regular wick, by the way.
With regular
Good
wood, yeah, with yeah,
job on your no prize.
yeah,
Congratulations.
yeah, send it to me.
Yes. So yeah, Optimus Prime pulls Perceptor off of the base and it explodes and Perceptor's like, no, Prime. I'm covered with the cosmic rust. It's too late for you. You should leave now. Leave me here. Like, no, you're coming back with me. He like cradles him and takes him back to base.
Right. It's almost like he's trying to get infected.
It is. It
Oh, yeah.
totally is.
Yeah.
It's
Like,
like,
he has that whole disappearing truck bed he could have put him in.
oh, totally. I
He could have said
mean,
that thing has a grab and claw.
yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
This
Like, this is, yeah,
actually.
this is like, hey, man, don't go to Coachella because it's, COVID's going on. Like, no, I gotta go see Radiohead at
It's
Coachella.
like there's that movie, was it Contagion, the one that has like all bunch of huge actors and like Lawrence Fishburne?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like that. Like, everyone's about to get real sick because they're in the middle of all these sick people, and like you're surprised when oh God, what is her name? Kate Winslet dies.
Right.
Why are you surprised? She was in the
Right.
middle of all the sick people. Of course she died.
Right.
I that that's Prime does the same thing. He's Kate Winslet right here, cradling, Perceptor, taking him back to base. And then, yeah, they're in base, and he's trying to type things on Teletran 1. He's like, oh no, what's wrong with Teletran 1? It's not responding, forgetting anything about Teletran 1, and looks at his hand. Oh no, it's too late.
Rust. Yeah.
But doesn't even acknowledge the fact that Teletran 1 is probably rusting up from the inside. Never, they don't like shine up Teletran 1 with Coruscant.
Right.
Oh yeah. I mean, everything should have been like
Yeah,
restored.
they should have like put a dome tin on the thing and gassed it all.
I also in this scene we get a great line from Blaster, which is, "I'm too young a dude to die," which is something I think all the time.
I still, even in my old age, I still think about that. I still think
Yeah.
about that exact line in my brain. often.
Oh,
So
God.
okay, so we get yet another mini MacGuffin here of so like
But from out of nowhere.
we need to make more of this stuff. So what about the matter duplicator? And dude, Optimus Prime in this is just like, dude, he shuts it, like it doesn't work, it never worked. And he just pours off, dude. This is
I
so good.
really, again, that's like a missing episode I want to see. I want to see the episode that Prime is so mad about when they tried to use the matter duplicator and it just let him down.
Yep.
Like he has some issues about the matter duplicator.
Dude, this dude is, yeah, he is angry about that. Like he is so mad. So, but apparently in the next scene, they're like, well, let's try the matter duplicator anyway. All you had to do was kick
I don't know what they're trying to duplicate, but it worked.
Well, apparently what it looked like is they were trying to duplicate a pile of dog crap, because that's what it looked like in the animation. Like, now we have one pile of dog crap. Now we have two piles of dog crap. And I'll tell you what, you know what? If you have a dog, you can have many. You have unlimited numbers of dogs. You have many.
Dude, I also there was the idea that they have still the worst surveillance system ever. Laserbeak was apparently just camping out there for a while, listening to everything they're talking about. They're like he goes back to Decepticon base, and Soundwave uncharacteristically just pulls the cassette out and puts it in the computer. Doesn't let him like transform do the whole thing. He's like, here you go, shunk, and plays back all the Autobots going, oh, dying. And then the idea that, he was there long enough to catch Blaster talking about like, or it was a Blaster? He's talking about the we can just scrape it off the Statue of Liberty. I think it was
Yeah, I think it was
Blaster.
Blaster or Wheeljack.
Yeah, they came up with a plan like, oh, we can just scrape it off the Statue of Liberty. And in Laserbeak's like, all right, cool, I got exactly what I was looking for, and I'm leaving. He was just there for the perfect amount of time. I got to hand it to Laserbeak, the MVP of this episode for Decepticons.
Well, again, this is another scene where Megatron was really star screamy because he starts off so gloaty. Oh, too bad they put all of the Rust-Oleum on the Statue of Liberty. And then when they present the idea of, hey, we'll just go get some from the Statue of Liberty, he totally craps his pants. He's like, we got to go destroy that right now.
Man, all right, so God. So first of all, I was taking notes while I was watching this, and so yeah, Laserbeak is the MVP because he's the spy in this, and I have zero memory of he was on the screen so briefly and so hidden so well that I didn't see him. I didn't know he was even in this episode. So apparently he is the MVP of this. He actually did his
He
job. He
is
was in disguise the
the
entire
best
time.
spy.
He fooled a 50-year-old man.
Also,
But
we're having a real hard time keeping this linear, but have we already passed the part where Megatron's just heating up the arc so it'll make the
well, we're getting there right
Autobots
now.
more uncomfortable? Because
You're not quite.
gonna spec
I
them
don't think
track,
we're, no,
actually.
we're not. I don't think we're quite. I don't think we're quite there
We
yet.
are right there because you're noticing everyone's getting like rust on them, and it's happening really fast. And they're like, how's this happening? And like Megatron's out there with his wife, with like it turned down to like 0.5 power, like when you're trying to melt a stick of butter in the microwave, and just like kindly lightly heating them up. He's trying to saute them, but not too quickly. And like, who is it asks him, like, hey, I think maybe it's Rumble who asks him, hey, why don't we just use that to blow up the Ark? Because I don't want to blow up the Ark. I want to make them very uncomfortable.
Want to make them sorry. Want to make them suffer. Yet
There's
another Dr. Doom trap.
a really like a throwaway line from Ratchet. He's like, is anyone getting really hot? This feels really hot in here. It was just like a line, and they that no one else even mentions anything about it after that. That's when you find out. The he beam like yes, you have something for the class.
So in this episode, there is an instance where each side can just completely wipe out the other side for good. And they
Yeah,
do.
Perceptor could have just been like,
Because
"Nah, I'm out of
of
here."
comic book plots. So
Yeah.
but so the Decepticons are they decide they're gonna go blow up Statue of Liberty. And this is around the time, I think this is a couple of years after this, but I don't know if you guys remember that David Copperfield
I remember definitely.
did a thing back in the 80s where he was gonna make
Yep.
the Statue of Liberty disappear. You guys remember
I
this?
do. I definitely do. Yes.
That was a big deal. That was
That was
back
a
when huge.
huge,
That was
huge.
like event TV, you know, back then. You had to watch that stuff because if you didn't watch it, you just didn't see it. But like my friend and I were talking about it, man, I wonder how he's gonna do that. And so my friend, his mom was sitting there with us, and she was a very, very devout Jehovah's Witness, and she said, "I know how he does it. He has outside help." And we were like, "Oh, he has like people that like a crew that helps him." And she's like, "You know who's helping him? It's Satan." She was dead serious that Satan, that all of David Copperfield's abilities come from Satan. So
Checks out.
take a detour, and I was like, man, I'm gonna watch that, because I hadn't seen it in a very very I hadn't seen it since it first aired, and I was probably like 8 or 9. So I'm like, I'm gonna watch that. And I watched it, and it's fine, whatever, you know. But they're interviewing people after the like after he makes it disappear and makes it reappear, and there's this old woman who I think is like a she's probably like a German immigrant that probably came over like right after World War II or something like that. She's probably like Project Paperclip or something like that. But she says literally, this is word for word, she says, "I have never seen a Statue of Liberty disappear the way this one did."
My little collection at home.
Like,
Man,
for
this
how
one's
many do you have?
crazy.
How many have you seen? How many Statues of Liberty have you seen? And how many have you seen disappear? Not like this. Not like she's like, this is the first time I've ever seen a Statue of Liberty disappear like this one did. Like I've seen it disappear, but not like that. Like,
I knew someone who was a personal assistant for David Copperfield for like 3 days. And he has like a crew of personal assistants.
I bet he does.
And she had to sign an NDA after it. So I
Wow.
don't, I could talk for a half an hour about this at least. But the funniest part of it, I'll just say what the funniest part of it I thought was, is that, when he's doing his stunts, he has like a headset mic on, or his tricks
Yeah.
that, he talks to the audience and he says mysterious things to. But he's got like a button that he can hit while he's doing it, where he just talks to his staff. And so, like, while he would be behind a screen having disappeared or something, he'll switch from saying his mysterious magic things to like, "I would really appreciate it if when I'm done, someone has my two-piece KFC meal in the back for me. I do not want gravy on my potatoes. If there are gravy on my potatoes, someone is getting fired."
Wow. Dude, if you don't want the KFC gravy, you're wrong.
Yeah, you're out of your mind, first of all, for not, because that gravy is delicious. But second of all, like, I don't care if I get fired. The real threat is if there's gravy on those potatoes, I'm making you disappear, and I'm not bringing you back. Like, you guys know that I have outside help. You know who it is. You know who helps me.
Satan.
It's
Satan, man. We're dogs. So back to this, man. They're going to go just scrape a little core stop off the Statue of Liberty. They just need a little chisel off so they can, like,
Right.
Reuse it.
reuse it and like use the matter replicator. They have a replicator. They have a Star Trek replicator, and this is the only time you hear about it in the entire series. Why?
It never comes up again.
Why don't they replicate like the Dinobots and have like an army of Dinobots? That'd be cool.
Like,
Hey,
that's
why
just
don't they
chaos.
replicate some Energon?
That'd be even cooler.
It's probably some thermodynamic law or something like that. You can't create energy. Well, what if you use other energy? No, it's not the same thing. I don't know,
Right.
dude. Yeah, it kind of wraps up quickly, though, this whole episode.
It really does. It's like that thing where you're writing your name really big on a piece of paper and you realize at the end you ran out, so the last two letters are tiny.
Like,
That's what this is like.
yeah, it is. Like, oh, was it Paul David?
Is it Minotaur? Is that his name?
Oh yeah,
Minotaur.
Minotaur. Minotaur's fury out of the
Minotaur's like
fight.
shooting. Well, he's shooting the heat ray from the bug, and the Aerobots like dive and attack, and like they hit him. But it so I think what he says here is damage, but it's so like weird, muffled, and modulated that it sounds like he's saying damage.
It's Minnesota probably did. Yeah.
And then so he drops the thing, and Superion blows up the lightning bug, and then the Decepticons retreat, and they fly away. So they took the ferry there to carry the lightning bug, but then they just fly away.
They took the ferry twice there.
Twice.
And
And they just
then
fly
yeah, at
back.
the end it's like Megatron told them to fly, and they're like, oh crap, we could fly this whole time?
Let's go.
Do you know they took the Staten Island Ferry. You know, the Staten Island Ferry, I think at that time was like 50 cents or something to ride. Do you think he isn't paid? It's free now, because I mean obviously if a robot's gonna use it anyways, might as well make it free.
Well, maybe that's why one of them was skiing. He didn't have the 50 cents.
You gotta ride on the back.
But the other one was dragging him with a boat. Where did he get that boat? Did he steal it?
Oh yeah, definitely
Where
stole
did
that boat. That boat is
he...
it's
Is
yeah.
that another Decepticon that we don't know about? There's a boat Decepticon out there. The
No,
boat.
there's not. I'm sorry. I gotta burst it right there, man. God, there's okay, completely left turn here, but I was watching some of Transformers Victory, which is one of the Japanese shows. And they have the MicroMasters in there. There's a bunch of MicroMasters, like a rescue squad or whatever that they have with them during the whole thing. There's like I can't remember all their names. Like there's a little fire truck. There's a boat called, like, I think it's like Boater or something. I can't remember the name. Anyways, so they have a little thing with onomatopoeia in Japan. The ambulance is called Peepo. Peepo, Peepo, Peepo. Yeah, exactly. I was like, that's kind of cute and ridiculous. That was never, you never anglicize that. You're like, Peepo?
It's like if you named him Wee-U or something like that,
Yeah,
or
yeah. Wee woo, wee woo. Yeah, exactly. Oh, the wee woo's coming. Like, yeah, it transforms.
stupid.
Yeah, it's incredibly stupid. And it's kind of adorable in the same way.
Oh man, all right, so I don't want to say that I didn't like this episode. But I don't think I loved it either. I mean, we got a combiner battle at the end that just didn't really go anywhere. We get some Transformers history, but it was almost like an afterthought, like well, I gotta put something in here somehow. There's a lot of elements in this episode that I really like, but I don't think they came together like I wanted them to come together. And so like Kid Brain probably would have been a little bored with a lot of this, like sitting around and just like dying of rust would have, and like I mean like my hand fell off, like a little dull. However, I will say that there are some elements of this that I probably, like, as a kid, I probably would have stolen to play with my toys with, like the whole rust thing. I probably would have, like, I could really see myself taking like Play-Doh or Silly Putty and using that and putting all over my action figures and making that into like a little storyline or something like that. Kid Brain, like, I mean, it's kind of middle of the road. I'd probably go like three VHS tapes that talk about ancient Martian monoliths out of five. Adult Brain, I think, might be tainted from learning all this stuff about Ryder. But it was fine, but it was like who cares? I think other episodes have done the same thing but better. And everything just kind of like it was like, oh well, this is gonna happen, and it just like okay, and it just happens and it's done. So I'm gonna go to AI written rhyming curses on your bass player who can't write lyrics out of five. That's what I'm gonna go on that one. Where are you guys on this?
Well, first of all, Kid Me would have loved this episode just because they show a lot of Transformers in it.
There are a lot of Transformers in
You
this.
know, I mean, there's that big group spot before they get to go to see Perceptor, where they just show a ton of Autobots. And really, that's what I was there for as a kid. I just wanted to see lots of Transformers. I'd say also, I think this episode was packed with a lot of stuff because we kept passing over things that we wanted to talk about, things that were kind of fun and cool about it. So
Oh
it was
yeah.
packed with a lot of cool. And we passed over my favorite line in the show. So I would say Kid Me would give this five, I mean, no, four, giving me the surges.
That's a great one. Give me the surges.
I typed out giving me the surges, and I just totally like glazed over it when I was going through my notes.
It sounds like Bismarcky or something like that. You caught the surges. But I think adult me actually liked this one even more because he has a sort of rusted brain and he caught all the adult content in this. So
You
I
did
think
want, you did
adult
miss a lot
me
of
is really going with five, giving me the surges. Like,
I deserve
the
that a
vapors.
perfect score. Wow.
Yeah.
No,
I had a really good time with this one, man.
I man, honestly, we're talking about like this made me appreciate it so much more though. I like this because first of all, I love the whole like Twilight Zone style. We're gonna go visit this lost colony. It's like we don't know what's going on, and let's get very, very like superstitious about it, and all these rhyming death, knells of things that are gonna happen to you. And then they're like, "That's cool. Let's take it with us." Like you said, the Starscream also, he's very competent. He
Right.
was the guy who was like, you should have listened to Rumble. And you should have listened to Astrotrain, which I'll never say again, even
Right.
though Rumble is the funniest part of the show to me right now. But yeah, man, the idea that they take this back in like a random asteroid that actually causes the rust, that was beautiful. And that they put together the heat ray and cosmic rust really early on. And they're like, "Oh, hey, we're smarter than the entire colony of Autobots. Let's just use this and make it like worthwhile." All this stuff, there was so much going on. Like you said, there's 2.5 MacGuffins in the entire episode. There was so much going on in this. I kind of loved it. I kind of loved how like dire and like, I don't know, it was just terrible it was for the everyone involved, including, dude, you called it, man, the doom trap. That was great stuff.
Right.
That was so much. And this is the one episode I remember as a kid, which is why I was reminded of that choice between the Tomex and Zamot pack or Perceptor. This episode actually really made me like Perceptor. So kid, I say kid brain, which I still think I have, and I never separate the two myself. I really like this, man, and there are so many beautiful relationships made in this episode. I think it really takes the to the top, and like I'll give it a 4.5 out of five. Four and a half, sorry. See, 4.5, wives out of five. I don't know, dude. That was really well thought out. I think about this before you even get in
That
there.
came off Mormon. It came off kind of like Mormon death cult. Like things were going to happen. Like
that's half,
one of these
wasn't it?
wives is just a half now. That can't be good.
What do you think the Autobot colony was, man? It's like afterlife. They have their own planet.
That's maybe David Copperfield that sawed that wife in half, and that's why you only have
Left her in the Statue of Liberty. All right,
Yeah.
guys. Yeah, man. This is so much fun. Y'all give us a follow and like. Check out once again the real phone is RELPHONIES. I have to spell it out my head again. Yeah, check them out. They're a lot of fun. Just talking about random movies and TV shows and anime. And of course, thank you always for being here, Jehu and Ed. Obviously, man, a lot of fun. So I'll see you in another 8 months. And y'all take it easy. Have a great week, and I appreciate you being here. Y'all take it easy.
Roll out.
Thank you. More Than Meets These Guys, a Transformers podcast, is performed by Evan Johns, Boo of the Axelon Underground.com, and Ed Strickland. Research is done by Evan Johns, Boo of the Axelon Underground.com, and Ed Strickland. Special thanks to Hasbro, Marvel, Skybound, and the occasional extra property, which we will name at whatever time is appropriate for that episode. And without all of you, this is really not even possible. So thanks for being here, and thanks for checking us out every week. Goodbye.